Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Tonight we open ourselves up to the fire, the passion, the power, the presence, and the peace. A lot of peace there of the Holy Spirit. I pray you haven't come to get the Holy Spirit tonight, but I pray that you've come to receive the Holy Spirit. So let's open up our hearts and pray as we always do in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We conclude our time of retreat, our time of mission together, asking God to fill us. We've been surrendering. We've been hearing the good news about trust. Many of you were reconciled last night in confession. And now we open our hearts to this marvelous gift, the abundant life of Christ, that is the Holy Spirit. So we celebrate Mass around this table as we conclude the year of the Eucharist together in thanksgiving to God and wanting to be fed. So I welcome all of you, and I'm grateful that you're here. And once again, let us surrender to Jesus as we always do, praying for mercy. Jesus, you died on the cross so that we could be forgiven. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Jesus, you were resurrected and breathed on your disciples the Holy Spirit. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
One day, Lord, we believe you're going to come again to take us home to heaven. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen.
Amen. Remain standing. We'll have our opening prayer. These prayers are taken from Pentecost Sunday, as are the readings. Father of light, from whom every good gift comes, send your Spirit into our lives with the power of a mighty wind, and by the flame of your wisdom, open the horizons of our minds. Loosen our tongues to sing your praise in words beyond the power of speech. For without your Spirit, we could never raise our voice in words of peace or announce the truth that Jesus is Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This is a proclamation from the Holy Gospel according to John. After the resurrection, on the evening of the first day of the week, where the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, the risen Jesus came and stood in their midst. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side that had been wounded. And the disciples rejoiced when they saw the risen Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then when he said this, he breathed on them. And he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. I believe that this is going to be a beautiful night of receiving. So give me about a half an hour to talk about the Holy Spirit, and then we'll move on. And you see that one of the images for the Spirit is a dove. That's the reason why I wore this. Others are tongues of fire. We have that up there on our beautiful banner, too, the dove and the tongues of fire. There's many images. Dove and fire and wind, water, living water, the breath. Light, a luminous light, all trying to grasp who this Holy Spirit is. And I want to explicitly talk about this. But speaking of the dove, of course, remember when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, when he went down into the waters, the Spirit descended on him, remember, as a dove, that sign of peace and gentleness and innocence. And I heard a pastor one time, he wanted to do something dramatic on the feast day of the baptism of Jesus. So he actually got a dove, and he tied a rope to it. And he got his sacristan, and he said, go up in the attic, and when I say, and the Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove, I want you to lower it from the ceiling. And everybody's going to, it's going to be dramatic, you know? So anyway, he gets ready, and it's a packed church, kind of like this. You know, people everywhere, all in anticipation of receiving the Spirit. And gets to that point where he's talking about the baptism of Jesus. And remember, when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, the Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. Nothing. So he figures, you know, the sacristan didn't hear him or something because of the ceiling. And so he talks a little bit more about the peacefulness of the Spirit and the gentleness and the innocence of the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's symbolized as a dove. And that's why when Jesus went into the Jordan, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Still nothing. So then he starts getting a little more rambunctious and talking about how the Spirit is powerful and passionate and full of fire as well as being a dove too. But when Jesus went into the waters, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And all of a sudden a voice came from the ceiling, the cat done ate the Holy Spirit. Paige is shaking his head, no. Sorry, Paige. I don't write them. I just tell them. Anyway, just to let you know, the cat has not eaten the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's alive and well and in us here tonight. And I have to tell you that, if you remember, 4 years ago, I ended with a Mass of the Holy Spirit also. Second book I ever wrote, let me put in a little plug for it really quickly. I think every young person ought to read this, is called Glorious Holy Spirit. Because, you know, I was confirmed in the eighth grade like these young girls. I was talking to them earlier, and didn't do a whole lot for me. But I had an awakening. I had a rebirth. I had a filling with a release and an unleashing of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I go like this because it came out of, Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I think everybody ought to read this book, Glorious Holy Spirit, the glory of the Holy Spirit, the fire, the passion, revolutionized my life. Scriptures became alive. Mass became alive. My prayer life became alive. I became alive. Changed my personality from being an introverted, you know, don't want to talk to anybody, afraid, to somebody totally different. Took time. Remember what I said about change? Change doesn't happen right away, but it's a process. It's a journey. And it may not happen immediately, but it happens eventually. So I have a special call, I believe, from God, and I've been doing this now for the whole 14 years of my priesthood, to at least dedicate one night to the Holy Spirit. Because I've been to Mass, folks, and I think you have too, hopefully not here, but it'll be Pentecost, and you won't even hear about the Holy Spirit. You know, there'll be all kinds of other things preached about. It's like, wait a minute, come on, I came to hear about the Holy Spirit and how the Spirit can touch me and how I can live with fire, you know. And it's like, I don't know, they go off on these strange interpretations. And it's really sad because our young people, I think we'd have so many more vocations out of our teenagers if they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the people of God would be so much more involved if they were anointed with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's everything. And it's my joy tonight to conclude our time of retreat together by proclaiming to you who the Holy Spirit is. And let me do it in many different ways tonight. I remember I was at a restaurant some time ago, and I sat down there, and it was right after I had gone for a run. It was in Florida, and I was really thirsty. And I sat down, and they put this big glass of lemonade right in front of me. And right there on the glass, it said, free refills, right on the glass. And I thought to myself, you know what? That will preach, free refills. Because that's exactly what God gives us in the Holy Spirit. First of all, they're free, the Holy Spirit is free. Actually, in the Greek, the Spirit is imaged as feminine, the word in the Greek, pneuma. And so you can say she, you know, the Holy Spirit. Wisdom in the Bible is called she. She is glorious. She is wonderful, you know. So the Holy Spirit is a person, the person of God. You know, right from the Bible, she guides and he leads and he helps. So the Spirit of God is God and a person and is free. In the beginning, as I begin here, I want to tell you that you cannot earn the Holy Spirit. And you don't deserve the Holy Spirit. You can't merit the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. The Spirit is a gift of God to all of us. So there's free refills. And the Bible said, you know, as we heard that reading, upon my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit, says the Lord. So the Spirit is for young and old, for rich and poor, for male and female. It's for all of us here. And none of us deserve this. You see, one of the things that I've tried to impress upon you during our time together, our retreat, is that God's love is unconditional. God's love is not conditioned on our behavior. Thank you for that. You know, it's conditioned on who he is. So he pours out his Spirit generously. Remember what Jesus said about God's love? The sun shines on the just and the unjust. And his rain pours upon the just and the unjust. In other words, everybody is favored by God by being given the gift of life. And everybody has been lavished with the Holy Spirit. It's free. And, you know, I'm going to go radical here and go beyond the catechism, what the catechism teaches here, so don't get upset with me. But I have discovered in my own life, by my own experience, that everybody, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, non-believers, they have the Holy Spirit. That's right. Everybody that has come into life, God has breathed. Remember how we were created? It says in the book of Genesis, God. Remember, I talked this morning about playing. Well, God was playing in the mud, and, you know, I guess he didn't like it, so he breathed on it, and then a man was created. Well, we just heard in the gospel exactly what happened here again. Jesus breathed on the disciples. See, this is the new creation. But when God breathed, he breathed his very life into that mud, into that man, into that woman. So all of us have that life of God in us. And when Jesus breathed on the apostles, he was filling them with this life once again and this new creation. So we have that breath of God in us. All of us do. From the richest to the poorest, the oldest to the youngest, whether you're a believer or not, you have the Holy Spirit. But, here's the big question, but does the Holy Spirit have you? That's a key statement there. See, non-believers have the Holy Spirit, they just don't know it. And a lot of believers have the Holy Spirit, and they just don't know it. In fact, Paul wrote the Corinthian community, and he said, don't you know that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit? That you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit? He said, don't you know this? Why? Because they were probably, you know, going to their services and yawning and not singing and not participating. So he goes, don't you know what's in you? You know, there's fire in you. There's love in you. God's in you. So he wanted to tell them, you know, that you've got the Holy Spirit. So first of all, the Holy Spirit's free, and it's for all people. And whether you realize it or not, I hope you didn't come here tonight to get the Holy Spirit, because you've already got the Holy Spirit. So nobody leave here tonight thinking, oh, gee, you know, I guess the Holy Spirit's for the Pentecostals down the street or the, you know, the charismatics up the road. No, the Holy Spirit's for you, especially you younger people that are here. I think that's great. I wish I had heard what I'm preaching right now when I was a teenager, because I needed this, and I didn't understand. And they spoke about the Holy Spirit in obscure terms that I couldn't get. And then when I was 18 years old, when I got hungry and thirsty enough, whew, this new awakening happened in me. And I experienced what I had known all my life, that glory, those goosebumps, that power. But I just didn't know it. I didn't know that that was God. I didn't know that was the Holy Spirit. So first of all, free. Now, refills. The Bible says, be ever filled with the Holy Spirit. What's Paul telling us there? This is Ephesians. be ever filled with the Holy Spirit. He's telling us that, you know what? We can experience more and more and more of God. That what you already have known, or maybe what you've experienced, isn't everything. That there's more. And don't give up. And you can be ever filled. He says, don't get drunk with wine, but rather get drunk with the Holy Spirit, is what he's saying. So there can be new fillings for you individually and for the community. Remember, it was Pope John the 23rd when he convened Vatican II. You know what he said? He prayed and he said, Lord, send us a new Pentecost. And what was he praying for? He was praying that the church, the whole Catholic Church throughout the world, would be filled with the Holy Spirit and change. Because really, the Spirit is the Spirit of change. And look what's happened to our church. Look at the different things, how now we reach out to people, ecumenism, how the liturgy has changed. We used to, of course, you know, face this way, and now we've turned around. This is my best side, probably, but, you know, there's all kinds. The scriptures, how they've been opened up to people. Now we encourage you, read the Bible. The author of the Bible, of course, the Holy Spirit, moving through the community, has now been given to us so that we can understand the scriptures. Like I said, scriptures come alive for me. My prayer life's come alive. It's the Holy Spirit, you know, who does all these things. So there's this whole thing about being refilled. Now, I know that's why you've come here tonight. There's many words for this. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, an awakening, a filling, being born again by the Holy Spirit, a release of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. See, that's what we're talking about here tonight. And it's not a one-time thing for a certain group of people 2,000 years ago. It's for us here, right now, tonight. It's for our church. It's for our young people. It's for all of us. And let me try to explain how we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I think that there's a great heresy going on in our church. You know what a heresy is? That's incorrect teaching. And the heresy is this. When I talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, a lot of people think, okay, we're empty. And it's like, okay, Lord, fill me. You know, kind of like an empty bowl. Let's pour it out and get filled, okay? And that's not exactly the way it is. Remember what I said. You have the Holy Spirit already. The Spirit is omnipresent, which means the Holy Spirit's already there. In fact, even little kids know that they have the Holy Spirit. For example, a little 7-year-old girl one time went to a doctor, and she was going to be examined. So the doctor pulls out his stethoscope, and to make her feel at ease, he says, you know, he's going to listen to his heart, to her heart. To make her feel at ease, he says, I am going to listen for Barney in there. She said, Barney's not in there. God's in there. Barney's on my underwear. So even kids know that God lives within them. You know, these young girls, they know that. This young guy sitting there, everybody, we all know that God lives within us. You know, don't you understand that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? So the great heresy is this, that somehow we are empty. Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your Spirit? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I go to Sheol, now there's a new thought. They used to think that in Sheol, nothing was there. If I go to Sheol, you are there. See, God's everywhere. There's no place where God is not. So when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, then what do we mean? It's not the empty bowl thing where we need to be filled. There's nothing here. We need something. No, that's not what it is. The filling of the Holy Spirit is this. I remember one time I was in San Francisco. You know what it's like in San Francisco? It's very windy, usually. And, you know, that's a symbol of the Spirit. Remember what I said some of the symbols are? A dove, wind, fire, breath, light, water, you know, living water welling up within you. Let's look at wind for a little while. I noticed, you know, we've had a lot in the news about wind with the hurricanes. Well, let's look at this wind thing. And I was in San Francisco, and I was on a boat, and all these little boats were going by me, all these colorful boats. And you know what they were? They were sailboats. And they had their sails up, and the wind, get this, it's turning this into a sale here for a minute. I got to look out for the fire. I don't want to catch fire here. I want to catch fire, but not that way, if you know what I mean. So I'm always looking around for these candles. Got to be careful of the Easter candle. I almost got caught fire one time. Well, anyway, the wind, you get the sail up, and the wind hits the sail and drives the boat. And if you don't have the sail up, you don't go anywhere. But you got the sail up, and you get driven. You get driven by the wind, okay? That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the wind is already there. The wind is already present. And what you got to do is get the sail up to catch the wind, to be driven by the wind. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the wind of Pentecost is already here, folks. And it's in this room here tonight. It's with you as you listen by CD. The Spirit's everywhere. And oh, the Spirit's so glorious and so good and so loving. Romans 5, I believe it is, says, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. And see, as believers, you know, a lot of time we think, I got to get the Holy Spirit, or I got to get forgiven, or I got to get salvation. That's wrong. You don't get those things. You receive the Holy Spirit. You receive forgiveness. You receive salvation. That's a big difference. This is receiving. This is trying to get. This is receiving. You just get in a position of openness. You get in a position where you can receive what's there for you. And it's a gift. You see, God wants you to be filled. And He wants you to get. I love it when I preach. Like right now, I'm feeling glory running all through me. It's just wonderful. It's the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit. You see, I don't do this on my own. You know, it's the grace of God, and that's there for you too. Say, Lord, you know, I want to receive you even more, and I'm willing. You know, that's what the retreat's about. That's how you have a closer walk with Jesus. You know, that whole thing of intimacy with Jesus, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. So anyway, to be filled is to get your sail up and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So tonight, I'm praying that as you hear the word, and that's one of the ways that you're saying, well, how do you get the sail up? Well, you hoist it. You know, listen to the word. Read the Bible on your own. Believe in the Holy Spirit. Turn away from your sins, as we've been doing. Listen to good Christian music. Go on retreats and missions. And I mean, that sail's going to get so high, you are going to start to move. And start to get driven. Remember, not backwards, not stuck, but being led by the Holy Spirit. You know what the Bible says? Those who are children of God aren't those who have the Holy Spirit, because we all do. Those who are the children of God are those who are led by the Holy Spirit. That's why we pray, lead me, guide me, Lord. And what a way to live. What a new way to live. Instead of making your own decisions and saying, I'm going to do this on my own and I'm going to try this and see if it works. What about allowing God to lead you in your decisions and help you in your vocations and help you raise your children? Wow, that's being led by the Holy Spirit. So as I was talking about, wind is one of the great images of the Holy Spirit. And of course, wind, as you know, can be very detrimental, as we've seen with Katrina. We saw it with Hurricane Rita. You know, we see it with the typhoons that hit. Wind can ruin things. It can be very detrimental, but it can also be very, very beneficial. So now what have I said? I've said, first of all, that the Holy Spirit is free. There ought not anybody be here tonight that thinks, well, I don't deserve this. Well, you're right. You don't deserve it. None of us do. It's a free gift of God for everybody. And it doesn't always mean it's a feeling, by the way. You gotta accept this in faith. Feelings may come. As I said, you know, when I'm preaching, I feel the glory. I don't always feel the glory. That depends on the Holy Spirit. But as I preach, what I'm doing is I'm getting my sail up, and then the Spirit's filling me. So I've talked about the Holy Spirit's free, first of all. It's for all of us. All people I will pour out my Spirit on, God said. That means you and me. He's given you life, believe me. You've got the Spirit. And then, of course, refills. And we can have that new awakening, that born-again experience, and that filling with the Holy Spirit, time after time, day after day, I believe. In fact, that's normal Christianity, to be refilled. So it's free refills. And how do you get filled? Well, the Spirit's already there. You get the sail up. So let's talk about who the Spirit is now. The Holy Spirit, of course, as I said, is a person. It's the living person of God. It's the love of God poured into our hearts. And it's not just any Spirit, it's God. Now, some people have confusion when it comes to salvation. People kind of, I find this in the Catholic Church so much, and I just want to help you with this so much. Many people don't know that they're saved or that they're going to heaven. They say, I hope I go, or I hope God forgives me, or I hope. Well, here's how you know. It's the Holy Spirit that is the assurance, the foretaste of the glory to come. I mean, people talk about, how do you know if you're going to heaven? Because heaven starts now with this heavenly gift already given to us. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the down payment and the foretaste of what is to come. And that's why I preach with such assurance and with such joy, because I have come into communion with the foretaste. And I can tell you, I believe with all my heart, I'm going home to heaven when I die. Because, well, how do you know that? Because I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. You know what a seal is? It's a mark of ownership they used to have. They'd mark like wine, or the king would put the seal on it because he owned it. Well, when the Bible talks about being sealed with the Holy Spirit, that means that you have been sealed with the mark of ownership from God. So when you come into communion with the Holy Spirit and you come to know the Spirit in a personal way, you know where you're going, because you already have heaven within you. So you don't need to doubt anymore. You just simply seek the Spirit, seek to be filled with the Spirit, and all the peace that the Spirit gives that the world cannot take away. So let's talk more about wind. Wind, as I said, can be very detrimental, but it can also be very beneficial. And as we know, those hurricanes that hit, we saw the damage that it does. But think about wind for a minute.
Please listen next time for the conclusion of Father Cedric's inspiring message. We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God, and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live with passion.